Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
David, to start game two, relieve in game three, warm up in game four, start game five. I mean, what did you learn about yourself along the way?
Nothing. I mean, I told you guys, Dr. Andrew said I had a special elbow, and I'm sure you guys ridiculed me and mocked me and made fun of me and did everything that you guys do. You know, I wasn't lying when he told me that, and now you guys see that. You know, I feel good right now. I didn't want to come out of the game in the eighth inning. I wanted to continue to go. If it took me 120 pitches or however many pitches it took to get 27 outs tonight, that's what I wanted to be able to do. I felt good, and I still feel good. That was very special.
Not one of David Price's finer moments last night.
No, for the record, you like all this. He's got
the ass. I like his attitude. The answer itself shows a lack of growth there. Because you know what would be a great answer?
That's what I keep saying. You want to talk about the rags to riches, and that's all just metaphors for like growth and change and all this stuff. He pitched really well.
Because when you say that, when you say what he just said, you're basically admitting like, oh, I just got lucky this time. That I've changed nothing. I'm doing everything exactly the same. And so what am I supposed to believe if you're doing everything exactly the same? And we're playing the law of averages. Well, most of the time you suck in the playoffs. So what? This is just that one aberration? No. I would like it if he said, you know, I've learned how to handle things a little bit differently. I'm pitching a little bit differently. I think I've learned how to sort of rise to these occasions. And I it took me a while to get here, but I'm here. And I've like that would have been a great answer. Saying that you've grown or you've changed and therefore you are, this is who you really are now. If you're telling me you haven't done anything differently and you're just the same guy, well then, well damn, he might go back to being the same playoff David Price next season. That sucks.
I wasn't lying when he told me that and now you guys see that.
Yeah, no, he was lying to you because, you know, he needed to convince you that nothing was wrong with you. It was all in your head.
He told me I was special and you guys all laughed at me. It said I wasn't special. Here I am. I knew it.
It's like every parent telling all their kids now how special they are. Yeah. It's like Dr. Andrews was like, you're special, David. You're special.
You've got a special elbow.
David, you can go out and pitch and not worry about it because you have a special elbow. All right, I have a special elbow. Let's do this.
And I'm sure you guys ridiculed me and mocked me and made fun of me.
Yes. And I still am right now.
No, you're celebrating him today. You said
I am celebrating him today. On this particular point, I'm not celebrating that.
Okay, so everything else. So this one.
I like his attitude. I like how he's sticking it to Kaufman. Like, what you guys do, right? Like, Kaufman would know a hot take if it punched him in the face. You know? You got white bread there asking a question.
Everything that you guys do.
Everything you do, Kaufman. Like, Kaufman? What did I do?
You know what? I'm not allowed to have takes. Just report the news.
I'm a newsman over here. What? What? So no, on the whole, I do love what David Price was telling everyone to go bleep themselves last night because you know what, Hardy? I believe he has changed, and I'm gonna give him that benefit. I believe he has changed. He has changed for the better, that he has tweaked things, that his approach on the mound is different, that his mental approach to these games is different. I believe he has cleared a mental hurdle with the pressure of the playoffs and the duck going a million miles an hour below the water. Did he look like that guy? Did he look the same to everybody? When you watched him on the mound this past week and in Houston, did he look like a different guy to you? Because he looked like a different guy to me.
the results certainly were different. And all of his mannerisms and ticks and little, you know, superstition
things. Didn't the ticks get better? Were the ticks as bad last night as they were in Houston?
No, he realizes he can dispense with some of the nonsense when he's found something. And I believe that, too. I believe he found something with his changeup. I believe he gained some confidence. And all of that resulted in two great starts in the World Series and what should have been an MVP performance. But don't try and tell me that you love it all now when you didn't love it before. The personality thing, I just have to look past and ignore that part of him. And I still believe that he's settled all family business with Red Sox fans, and they're going to love him unless he really turns into a pile of hot garbage, that he gets a pass for a long time in this town for what he just did in the World Series. But don't try and convince me that somehow now it's all awesome, that the same personality that we ridiculed him for and disliked him for, that I personally dislike about him, is somehow great now because you couple it with a couple of good starts in the World Series. No, personally,
the World
I still got...
Series. Are you listening to yourself?
Yes.
The World Series, winning the World Series and being deserving of the MVP. That puts you in a new category.
The performance does. If the personality doesn't change, why do I like it now?
Because the personality doesn't bother me when you're winning. It doesn't bother me. In fact, I thought it was pretty great last night in parts. I did. He holds all the cards now.
Oh, God.
You media jerks.
Yeah.
All of you. And it's great. I mean, hey, I'm all for it. Like I told you earlier, he's an insufferable prick just like the rest of us. Welcome to the club. Awesome. I welcome it. I welcome the back. Let's do this.
You mentioned all the stuff he was doing. And,
yeah.
And he limited it to one thing, grabbing the back pocket and really rubbing that thing.
Yep. That was his one tick last night. He kept
It got me wondering, like, does he have something there? Is there something there?
He was drying off his hand.
Yeah, I was wondering if there was like something on the pants that he was like grabbing to like.
He still does.
Did you catch the guys in the Dodgers bullpen, by the way, spraying their arms?
Yes,
did you see any of that?
I did see that.
Spraying their arms with the pine tar spray? I don't know what's actually in that.
Maybe it was the bullfrog stuff, the buckle.
It's like hairspray that they spray on their bats now. You see this? Oh, guys spraying on their arms down there. It's clear, so it's great. It's perfect for the job.
That allowed?
No, of course not. But there's a certain level of cheating that's allowed in the game.
He still does the eye close thing, but I didn't see it as much last night. The just focus.
I thought that Price last night, I'll pick through the things he said and say right or wrong. Do you agree with it? But even last week, he told us all about his adjustments that he was making. Did he not do that a week ago? Did he not say, I've unlocked things? Did he not say that last week?
I found something in the bullpen. That's what he said.
I found something. So what?
Now changeup. I found something with my changeup in the bullpen is exactly what he said.
Now you've unfound it? Now you haven't learned anything and you're the same guy? Like, that's... Come on.
Eric Gagne called him.
I'd have so much more respect if you were like, yeah, I've changed and this is who I am now. I'm like, all right. Awesome. You've discovered things. We talked about how he used that cut fastball so much less. The thing basically disappeared out of the repertoire. It's gone. Barely uses it.
I just saw Price. I apologize if you or someone mentioned this before. The tweet that David Price put out last night.
No,
the shush tweet.
2:06 a.m.
Yeah.
Four emojis with the hand up like that.
Silencing the haters.
# I hold the cards now.
Oh, what a great tweet.
Hold the cards now.
And when you win, you can pull that crap off.
Do you like?
And I'm not going to get on you for it. It's your night, David. You can do it.
Do you like guys who act like they've been there before?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, is that an admirable quality? Because this is the opposite of that.
He's never been there before.
I know. That's why the phrase is act like you've been there before.
Yeah, he doesn't
act
know.
Like
he
it.
Doesn't know. This is so foreign to him to win when the games really matter. Up is down, down is up, all of that good stuff.
It's like Laurence Olivier talking to Dustin Hoffman in Marathon Man. My dear boy, had you considered acting? Act like it. Just act like you've been there before.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Is it crazy to think 10 days ago people were doubting David Price, saying that he couldn't get a first place playoff win? He's got three now.
Like I said, all the haters, it's time to be quiet. And show the guy some respect because he showed up.
+617 779-0985 Hey, the Patriots play a game tonight, by the way. I don't want anyone to forget that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a game in Buffalo tonight.
Buffalo.
That's why Zoe is here today. 5:30 pregame starting tonight across the Patriots Radio Network.
So you'll be...
So if you tune in 12 hours from now, Beto will just be getting ready to start postgame.
Yeah, 12 hours from now, I'll be getting ready for my third broadcast of the day.
Oh, my God. No, no, because I got to do a postgame too, Jim, and here's how it's going to go tonight. This is going to be one of those two-hour, 50-minute NFL games. They kick off 8:15? We got an 8:15 kick?
Yeah, 8:15, yes.
Okay, I'm calling it right now. Game is over by 11:05.
Oh, please.
Sure, it will be.
Please.
Beetle and I are out the door right around 1 a.m., home in bed by 1:30. I'm calling it right now.
Is that even possible? I don't even think that's possible, Jim.
Sure it is.
For us to be off by one?
No, Hardy will be.
I've got a hard out after 2 hours.
We won't be. That's not how it works here. 617-779-0985. John is in Boston. Hi, John.
What's going on, gentlemen? What a day. Well, I hate everything and anything about David Price. I hate his face. I hate his attitude. I just hope he opts out because he finally did something. Maybe some bums out west will pick him up.
So you don't want that guy pitching for your team next year at all?
You know he's going to go right back to his old crappy complaining about everything ways. I want nothing to do with him.
So
we got pissed.
Yeah, but if
this
he wins,
hits piss missiles all day. It's the best thing ever since sliced bread.
If he wins, he can do all the complaining he wants.
Negative. I'm sick of hearing him. Did you see him like pouting the whole time when they were distributing the trophy around?
Well,
somebody ran over his cat's leg. It's absolute embarrassment.
It's because he got passed over for the MVP. He was pissy.
He should have been because he pitched his life. He pitched his life away. But I just don't want to give him the gratitude because he's a bum.
Okay.
But I got other things to talk about too.
Okay.
I heard you talk to my buddy Donnie the other day.
Yes, we did. We did talk to him.
Well, as you already know now, I can't go to Buffalo because I got my ankle bracelet. I violated parole like an idiot.
What did you do to violate parole?
I may or may not have passed a drug test, you know.
Oh.
I got the hearing.
Sounds like you may not have.
I'm not sweating it. It is what it is.
Are they sending you back to the clink or what?
I mean, I could go back for up to 2 years and a bunch of fines, but I'm not sweating it because the Red Sox are World Series champions and we're on to Buffalo.
That's right.
And I hope Zoe holds down the fort tonight because I can't be there. I hope somebody gives a Buffalo fan a sweet chin music to the throat.
Thanks, John. It's green light Johnny right there.
Might be going back to prison, but it's okay.
Because the Red Sox won the World Series.
And I still hate David Price. I may or may not have possibly failed a drug test.
We will examine all the evidence in my hearing later this week.
Yeah, may implies may not. So next time we just go with may. And why don't you just say you did? Why don't you just say you failed a drug test? That way we all know.
No one goes back to jail when they pass a drug test. That would be a first in the legal system.
The results may have been tainted. Derek is in Foxborough. Hi, Derek.
Oh, what's up, Beetle? I don't think you can read too much into postseason stats because if you remember, Pablo Sandoval batted 500 in the 2012 World Series, and he sucked. And so you can't hold that against Mookie Betts.
I don't think Sandoval was awesome in
so
San Francisco.
What am I supposed to say about Joe Kelly then, that he's never going to be this good again?
No, but you're saying the 20-game sample, that's 10% of the regular season. You can't take that sample and, say.
Okay, then I shouldn't do that with Joe Kelly then. I should say that Joe Kelly still sucks and that I'm not going to take into account
anyway,
that this was.
What I really called about was I don't think it was personal against Price.
Yeah.
I just think they automatically just give it to whoever the best hitter was. They did the same thing in 2013 when John Lester won two games and they gave it to Ortiz because he was the better hitter. So I just think they just automatically give it to the best hitter.
The offense in most of these type of voting things is going to get the nod. But didn't Madison Bumgarner win it? Wasn't he the MVP?
I don't remember.
In 2012?
That's the year he came out of the pen to pitch game 7?
I believe so. MVP. I'll double check and look it up. But he's right. Offense generally gets gets the lion's share of the attention. And
2012
like
was Sandoval. Bumgarner was 2014.
There you go. So it's not an automatic that the best hitter is going to get it.
Mike and Quincy. Mike, what's your question?
How you doing? I just want to know if David Price has earned the right to play Fortnite now that he pitched that well last night.
No.
You guys complaining all the
no.
time.
No, he was better without the Fortnite. No, he doesn't get. Also, he can play Fortnite all off season long.
Also, you got to give Mookie a little bit of a break because batting average is not everything. You remember in the first game, he stole second and got that first run, and we got it going early. Mookie does a lot more than smash home runs like Ortiz used to. He brings a lot more to the table.
Yeah, but he was known for being an on-base guy, an average guy, a power guy. He had everything going offensively throughout the entire season, and you can't just flat-out disappear in the postseason and not hit until the home run in Game 5. I mean, you can't do that and expect everyone just to say, nah, it's okay. It worked out, so it's okay in that regard, but it's not okay in terms of, well, if he's going to be around for a while and he's going to play for 6-8 more years at a high level and continue to be an MVP type of guy, or at least in the conversation or close to the conversation, you're going to have to show up when your team makes it to the ultimate stage. That goes with it too. So I think, of course, he still made contributions. Xander Bogaerts made tons of contributions defensively throughout the World Series, but at the plate, he was garbage. Wasn't doing anything. And it's totally fair to point that out. Not saying that they're worthless, but you're doing the guys who did do something offensively a disservice if you don't include the fact that one of the reasons why Pierce got the MVP mm-hmm. is because J.D. Martinez and Mookie Betts, the guys you were counting on to provide all these runs and for the Red Sox to win all these postseason games, 12-9, didn't come through. So they needed Steve Pierce. That's why he got the MVP, because guys like Mookie Betts disappeared for big chunks.
Disappeared the whole time. Who's your ALCS MVP? It wasn't J.D. Martinez. It wasn't Mookie Betts. It was Jackie Bradley Jr.
Exactly.
I mean, those were the guys. Those were the guys who really came up big in the whole postseason.
Mookie Betts went 0-7 in Game 3. Xander Bogaerts was 0-8. That was the moment, the worst game for them. Collectively, when you had what was truly a bullpen game for 11 innings for the Dodgers, they used true bullpen one inning type of efforts after their starter was out of the game. Walker Buehler, who, by the way, what'd you make of him, Jim? I know you were sort of like, come on, guys, hit the baseball tonight. You've got a rookie. That kid's pretty good. I thought he was pretty good.
A Walker Buehler?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was the forgotten man in that game.
Yeah, he was legit.
You know what? They had a chance to get on him early because he couldn't put him away. They had a lot of like two-strike foul balls that just couldn't get a hit. If they got a couple hits, I think he would have crumbled. But once he got through that, he got better as the game went on.
617-779-0985. Here's Christian Arcan with your headlines. The city of Cleveland has fired two coaches in a matter of a day. Here's Christian.
Sports Hub headlines.
The Boston Red Sox are your 2018 World Series champions. They captured the title, topping the Dodgers 5-1 in Los Angeles last night, taking the series 4-1. Steve Pierce, your World Series MVP, but he says everybody helped.
There were so many guys that did so many good things in the series. I mean, it was everybody, and we had timely hits and big pitching. This was a great team series. We everybody was involved. We went 18 innings the other day, and we used everybody. I mean, and this was just a great series win.
David Price picked up the victory. He pitched into the eighth inning, allowing just one run. Joe Kelly pitched the eighth. Chris Sale the ninth. Both pitchers struck out the side to close the Dodgers out. Red Sox now tied for the third most championships in baseball history behind the Cardinals and the Yankees. Championship parade is scheduled for Wednesday at 11 a.m. Patriots are in action tonight as they visit the Bills in Buffalo. Catch all the action right here on the 98.5 The Sports Hub, Patriots Radio Network. Coverage starting at 5:30. Tom Brady 28-3 in his career against Buffalo. Sony Michel, Marcus Cannon, Geno Grissom, Jacob Hollister, Eric Rowe, and Brian Schwenke have all been ruled out. Kickoff is at 8:15. And according to several reports, Patriots are looking to upgrade at wide receiver before tomorrow's 4 p.m. trade deadline. Another little piece of NFL news. The Browns have fired head coach Jackson in 2+ seasons. Jackson amassing a record of 3-36. Celtics and Bruins are both off tonight. Celtics host the Pistons tomorrow at TD Garden, and the Bruins skate to Carolina to take on the Hurricanes tomorrow night. Sports Hub headlines. brought to you by your New England Honda dealers. Visit HondaDealersOfNewEngland.com for great offers. Around here, we Honda. I'm Christian Arcand on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 1 o'clock.
Zulak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5 The Sports Hub.
He put together a clubhouse that had more unity than I've ever seen and showed us what day-to-day perseverance, sense of purpose, dedication, every day. And he had them ready every day. On every level, he was a superior manager this year. He was every bit as good as our best players every day.
I don't feel like we've given Alex Cora his due here today. I don't think he was perfect in the World Series. I think that Cora magic thing, by the time last night rolled around, was sort of over. The run was over. He didn't make every right call. But no. It's a better story when you say that he did. So that's what all the owners were saying. But he still did a great job. He still had a great season. I think he's very likable. His honesty. He's authentic. That's what I love the most about him. Like, when you get him at the podium, it feels like a real human up there talking to you. And it's just such a departure from what John Farrell was. And it was probably like 90 minutes after the game ended last night that I thought to myself, I wonder if John Farrell watched tonight. Wonder if he was kicking back on the couch, bowl of popcorn, maybe a soda, watching that game.
Enjoyed all the bunting.
Him and the girlfriend.
Don't.
The pageantry.
They still World together?
Series. I have no idea.
Yep. I won in my first year, too. Good luck.
Yeah, I just wonder. I wonder if he was watching. I was wondering if he was watching, and I wonder if he was happy for them, because I'll tell you what, his players talking about this year versus last year, the more they talk about it, the more they are throwing him under the bus hard. I mean, they, and by the way, that doesn't mean it's not deserved, but you could tell they did not like playing and did not respect John Farrell by the end. And they respect and really like their manager. And maybe it's just that John Farrell is an old school manager and Alex Cora is a new school guy. And he's younger and he's closer to his playing days. And he obviously had a great connection with his players. That's very obvious.
It's always like the honeymoon period, you know, like, from Bobby Valentine to John Farrell, that was a huge deal, and everybody loved Farrell at first because he wasn't Bobby Valentine. Everyone loves Cora now because he's not John Farrell. I mean, halfway through Farrell's second year, remember 2014? They blew up the whole pitching staff. Okay. They traded Lester and the whole team.
Okay, whatever. That
they
doesn't
were
matter.
Done.
John Farrell in year one winning the World Series, we walked away from the World Series year one with Farrell saying they won despite their manager. We did. We said that. Brandon Workman. I mean, that moment summarized all of his in-game moves. Like, what are you doing? We all said that about Farrell. We did. We're not saying that about Cora today.
No.
We're not saying that. That's not what happened.
And I don't think we're giving him too much credit. I mean,
over the course of these playoffs, he was a huge plus for this team. He wasn't perfect, but a major plus.
In the playoffs, he was more of an asset than he was in the regular season because you need the manager more in the playoffs for managing the pitching staff, which is pretty much what it comes down to. Putting the lineups together, sure. You're dealt injuries. You have to decide what to do. Yes. But during the regular season, it's not as big of a deal. They all liked him in the regular season because they were winning a bunch of games. Everybody liked everybody. What's not to like? Everything that he was doing, that's like, oh, yeah, just all part of this one long experience of winning 108 games. So some of it comes from that. But in addition to it, yeah, I believe he's a more likable guy. He's a more player-friendly manager. And not to his detriment, which we've seen before. Some guys are a little too buddy-buddy with him. But no, I get the sense that he still runs that clubhouse. He's got the respect of the players, but he's also got the lines of communication open. It's the little stuff we heard about from the players. We know what time we're going to be here. We know when we're flying out. We know who's going to start. We know when he doesn't know yet. And they believe the stuff that he tells them. So all of it works, especially when you end up winning the whole thing and 108 games in the regular season on the road to it. It'll be interesting to see when they hit some slumps. They didn't have any slumps this year.
They won three games in a row, or they lost three games in a row once. So we don't have anything to, there's no control in this experiment yet. All it is success, which is a nice problem to have. But if you're really trying to gauge the success and the longevity of a manager like Alex Cora, you have to do it after they've experienced some bad times, which they have. They didn't do it. They haven't done it since spring training. They haven't had a bad time with Alex Cora at the helm yet.
How about him on Saturday night with the announcement of Price at the very end as part of the walk-off? Oh, by the way, David Price pitching tomorrow. So bye, guys. And Pete Abe. What a great job by Pete Abe. Whoa! Hey, Alex! What changed? Then he gets back up there and he's like, whoa! Oh, Pete, relax, brother. You know, I felt like the president. Like, I'm getting yelled at questions from the pool reporters here. Like, what? And he sat back down and he kept talking and he came back and kept going. But that wasn't the only thing that I noticed about that. Did you catch him Saturday night postgame? And if you didn't, I understand. There was a lot of lost sleep this weekend if you weren't staying up. But he said in there, he made a comment about, well, yeah, you know, I was the manager that didn't like to pinch hit early in the season. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, did anyone just pick up on this? He was griping about the criticism of him early in the year about how he wouldn't use pinch hitters.
I don't know, because the manager didn't believe in pinch hitting early in the season. I thought pinch hitting is a tough spot, but a tough at bat, but obviously we're in the National League and we have to.
He like just slid that in there. Like, oh, you know, the manager didn't believe in pinch hitting at the start of the year.
Oh, you think you had it rough from the critics early in the year, Alex?
And I just thought, I get when he defends a player, like if he gets up there and he defends David Price. That, dude, you've had it really easy here.
Oh,
you've had it really easy.
Well, yeah, because
and you're going to continue to have it easy because you're good. You're good at what you do.
They've won a ton. So what are you going to do? Jump down his throat? The roughest time he had was before he started with what I believe to be completely legitimate questions about his ability to do the job because he hadn't done the job.
Right.
That's the toughest time Alex Cora has had in this town, and that was before he even really started. So the fact that he remembers that, uh-oh.
here's what I want to say. Don't ever believe him when he says he doesn't care or doesn't listen to what's going on. We had the thing where he flipped out about Evan Roberts on MLB Network. He's a guy with the antennas up. He knows what's being said. He listens. He knows what fans are saying. He knows what media is saying. He knows all of it.
Yep.
How he has time in his day. I don't know. Much respect to him. He's got twins at home.
On the flip side, Roberts will just cut it off at the pass and won't even let it get that far and just throw his players under the bus before it happens.
Oh, yeah, he'll just throw it. He's just, you know, complete opposite. But that's what you got to be. You've got to be Alex Cora in 2018, not Dave Roberts. You can't be Dave Roberts. You have to be Alex Cora.
Is there any doubt all that stuff fueled them this run? It fueled them through this playoffs.
Yeah, they used it to their advantage.
Everything from the start of the season until during the playoffs fueled them as they were making their run.
Yep.
There's no other way they play New York, New York in the clubhouse after the game.
Nope. Every little thing, they used it to their advantage to be motivated, to continue to go crazy.
You're welcome, Boston.
Which I bet they play the best of Adam Jones every night in that clubhouse. Every night. And by the way, Fulcher never quits. He never quits. Did see his post last night?
So awful.
So amazing.
Oh, Pedroia?
He posted a picture of Dustin Pedroia, a gif image of him saying, not me.
Yeah, when you can see him mouthing the words, not me.
He was yelling across to the Orioles dugout to Manny Machado last year saying, it's not me. And what he tweeted was, hey, little leader, who won the World Series? And it's Pedroia going, not me. He always has an angle.
Leave it alone.
The Vulture always has an angle. Never quit. Never quit, Jones. We have another montage to play for you. A montage, a recap of the World Series that you don't want to miss. We'll play it next. I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Muncy flies one in the air to left center. Back at the wall. It is gone! It's over! Muncy, a walk-off home run to win game three in the 18th.
We'll map it out tomorrow. There's a few guys that are lining up in my office to start the game tomorrow. We'll decide what we do, and we'll be fine.
Here comes a 3-1. Chris Sale pumping up his teammates in the dugout.
I was down in the tunnel. I heard someone yelling. Mookie came down. He was going down to watch some video. And I said, who's yelling up there? He's like, Sale. I'm like, oh, my God. He's mad. He was mad at us. So, you know, I think that kind of lit a fire under everybody.
Dodgers leading by 4. So 0-41, the top four spots
in these two games. Here's a fly ball into left center. Back is Bellinger at the wall. The game is tied. Steve Pierce.
Rafael Devers.
That's up the middle. The Red Sox are going to take the lead. Hulk scores. Boston on top 5-4.
David Price is starting tomorrow.
We feel like David is
Pierce hits one in the air to left center field. Back at the wall, there will be no zero. Pierce has got another. 2-0 Boston in the first.
You know, what can you say? I mean, it's like you can't question anything that Alex did. It's like questioning Einstein.
0-2, back to Price. What a night. It's all David Price.
Chris is okay. Yeah, no, he's... Actually, he'll be back there.
But now Boston will have Chris Sale on the mound trying to close down game five. Here comes a 1-2 pitch. Red Sox win the World Series. 5-1 the final tonight. And the best team in baseball wins it all in 2018.
I'm proud of you guys, but honestly, thank you. Thank you.
All of that was from Saturday morning on. All of that happened after we were last here on Friday, Artie. We knew we had a big weekend of baseball ahead of us, but how about that?
Well, we had an extra game.
Yeah. Something I heard in there that we have not addressed yet is the yelling in the dugout by Chris Sale. I've never in my life seen something that is more overrated than that. The yelling in the dugout by Chris Sale. The over...
By a guy who's not in that game.
In a series
they were winning.
I mean, first of all, I liked it. It was awesome. It was so perfect that he did it. Great. I love it. I love that fire. I love that someone was screaming at the team to wake up. Right? It was needed. How come nobody acknowledged him? How come nobody would even look at him?
Well,
and maybe they didn't have to. Maybe it didn't matter. But can we just not say that the reason why Mitch Moreland hit a home run was because Chris Sale was yelling in the dugout? That's a reach.
That's
an extreme reach.
Pierce
hit a double, or Pierce hit his home run because Chris Sale yelled in the dugout. Like, one does not automatically lead to the other. So what happened? Did Mookie Betts not hear him? Was it that Mookie Betts didn't listen enough? Or he, what? Hard of hearing? What happened? What, Xander wasn't listening? How come those guys didn't produce? The yelling didn't get to them.
I think it was Benintendi who said that he was scared by it. It's like, well, yeah, it was kind of scary. He was like really mad. And it's like, he told us, you know, we got to start swinging the bats. So that's what we started doing.
Oh, and the Red Sox fans on Twitter were so triggered by me putting out the image of Ortiz in 13 when he actually had the audience and everyone was like really engaged. I'm like, oh, at least Ortiz had an audience. And you know why I did that? Because even when that happened in 13, none of us were silly enough to say, oh, this is why they won. We just said, wow, that's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool thing. That's good leadership there by Ortiz, trying to settle everybody down. Like, no one was like, oh, they won the World Series or they turned it around because Ortiz gave a pep talk. No one said that then. Because 5 years ago, I don't know, maybe the collective fan base was a little bit older, a little bit wiser. And now you get like the younger Johnny-come-lately crowd with baseball. I don't know. But there was such an overrating of that by Sale, or just this point A to point B with the success of the team. Oh, Sale freaked out. That's why they turned it around. You really believe that? You really believe that? Moreland had been trying to hit that home run for three games. He finally connected. He finally got the pitch.
Which, by the way, if you want, if this is what I was thinking after, probably after game four, but certainly after the first home run last night, Steve Pierce, one of the reasons why he was so effective is he wasn't trying to hit a home run in every at bat. That, you know, when you hit home runs, a lot of times when you're not trying to hit a home run.
Moreland had been trying to hit a home run for days, and he finally hit one.
A lot of those guys are trying to hit home runs.
I don't know if you'd watch Moreland's at bats, I should say. He was trying to hit a home run.
Brutal, some of the cuts these guys were taking, which is the game now. I understand it. Either strike out or hit a home run. There's no in between. Pierce, on a lot of those swings, looked like he was just trying to make good contact. And on the right pitch, you make really good contact, ball goes a long way.
No. He only won the MVP because Sale yelled. He really started. He didn't produce in those first three games because Sale hadn't yelled at him yet.
There's no yelling.
When Sale yelled in the dugout, then Pierce is like, oh, I got to play well now. Chris Sale yelled at me.
Now, as somebody pointed out on Twitter, I remember Moreland said this post-game that he wasn't even there. He was watching video.
Love it.
He was taking swings or something.
Thank you.
He was getting ready to pinch hit.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Did you hear Devers? I thought Devers was good on this. Devers was like, he said a lot of words that I'd never heard him say before.
Which means maybe he just said words.
Yeah.
Maybe they were like, the, and...
I love it. Thank you. I didn't even know that part. Moreland wasn't even in the dugout when Chris Sale was doing his yelling. Oh, they turned it around because of Sale. Listen, it was cool. We love that stuff.
Right.
You love it when Brady has a freak out on the sideline, or Ortiz did it in 13, or Sale getting fired up. You love to see the emotion. You love to see the passion. Just don't sell me on, like, this is why they won.
It's the catalyst.
This, he was the reason for, he was the spark.
They were already winning in the series.
Yeah, no, I know.
At least with David Ortiz, they were down 2-1 when he freaked out.
You know what?
You can say, maybe say something there. I mean, I don't buy it, but at least you can say it then.
But I got to say, you're not giving that moment in the series enough like credit, because they may have been up, but it felt like they were about to be tied. So, and it felt like they had opened the door. It felt like the door was open for the Dodgers to come in, and they came back, they fought back, and didn't let it happen. Which speaks to how good of a team they are. Which speaks to why they were so good all year long. You know, that whole relentless attitude that this team has, that was real. That was real all year long. Don't cheapen that by trying to say that Chris Sale was the reason. The reason why is because these guys, that group of players, never gave up. They were never a team that quit. They had no quit in them. Which is why they did that. Which is why they bounced back, and they only had the one loss in the series. It's why they bounced back from a horrible, way to end an 18-inning game. Not a horrible game, but a horrible way to go home.
Yes.
And came back and won the next two. There are a lot of teams that wouldn't do that, that would sort of fall apart after that. They didn't. They did not do that at all. And that's why they get a ton of credit. So this next part of this is, are the Red Sox going to turn into a dynasty? Are they primed to do it again next year? Are they going to be a team that is going to go on a run over the next few years?